Pastor Jeff on the right and wrong way to pray.
Prayer has nothing to do with beads. Isn't that great? Prayer has nothing to do with long, you know, things of hours and nights of prayer and being spiritual that way. It has nothing to do with these things. Prayer has everything to do with Hebrews 11:6. Listen to this verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please the Father. For he that comes to God must believe first that he is, and that he is then a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We need to be diligent about prayer. We need to be seeking the Lord.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
How's your prayer life going these days? Many of us would readily admit it's not where we'd like it to be, and others aren't sure how to go about it. Well, today's Sound Doctrine will be of great encouragement to you as we hear from Jesus on how to pray. There is a right and wrong way to pray. Turn with us to Matthew chapter 6, where we'll focus on verses 5 through 8. And if you need to leave us early, just visit sounddoctrineradio.org or oneplace.com. Here's our pastor and teacher, Jeff Johnson.
Notice the right way to pray. Verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. So the right way is to go into secret, to be alone with the Lord. And it's to be a sincere prayer, not just to be a secret thing, but a sincere thing. Because prayer changes things. Prayer moves the hand of God, and you begin to see that, and you begin to get sincere with the Lord. And this secret place, or this quiet place, wherever you choose, to just spend some time with your Father. It's so important. Over in Mark's Gospel, in chapter 1, in verse 35, listen to this, what Jesus did. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and he departed into a solitary place, a quiet place, and there he prayed. So Jesus is our greatest example. We need to get alone with God. We need to have times of prayer with our Heavenly Father. When thou prayest, Jesus says. So that, does that mean we need to start praying? You bet. And as we pray, Lord, check my motives. I want to be pure on this. Lord, check my heart. It's deceitful. It can rip me off. Help me to be just open to you and just make it special. Now, how do you pray? Well, we've learned that, well, you just close your hands, you bow your head, and you close your eyes, right? Where'd we get that? Well, I think we got that from kids that were raised in Sunday school about how to pray. Now, kids, we're going to pray. So everybody, you know, clasp your hands, close your eyes, and bow your head. Now, you come to find out the reason the teachers did that is because when kids clasp their hands, they're not hitting the guy next to them. Or going underneath and, you know, doing this. So if you just get their hands together, you're safe. And then the closing of the eyes so they won't look around and be distracted with everything. And that's a good thing. I know there's other ways to pray, and that is you can get by your bed right before you go to bed. And you've seen this times and pictures and all, where somebody would be leaning on their bed and their face in their hands and they're kneeling. But you know what? After a while, you find in a few minutes you're falling asleep. It's a great position to sleep in until you wake up and your knees are hurting because of the floor. And then you go, I think I'll just crawl in bed, you know, and I'll lay before the Lord. That's what I'll do. I'm just going to lay before God. But that's an excellent place to, you know, position to sleep in. And you'll be out like a light. I was listening to this guy who was talking about how he was losing sleep a lot. He couldn't sleep at night. And so he decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start reading the scriptures. I'll get it on cassette and I'll put it in my ear and I'll just lay there before the Lord and listen to his word. But, you know, the enemy said, no, you're not going to listen to God's word. I'm going to put you to sleep. So you got a lot of sleep. So that's a good way to sleep, just laying before the Lord. Listening to his word is a blessing. But what's a better way to seek the Lord and to pray? I find it easiest myself to walk and pray, or to just get alone in a spot and just close my eyes and pray. But you know, have you ever done this when you're praying? You're trying to get your thoughts together and you're saying, and Father, this is great. And I just want to share with you, and I haven't had lunch yet. And what can I eat? And Lord, getting back to the prayer. And he's watching us go. Oh, come back. You know, hello, come in. You know, you're just not connecting. Because have you done that, or I'm the only one? They just, you know, you just lose it. I mean, you can't. Your mind is weird. You know, so what do you do to get by the mind? Because it goes off. I found the best thing is do verbal prayer. Because then you've got a little bit more control on it, and it's more precise. You'd be short, quick, to the point, it's done. And you know you've just had a talk with the Father. And then there's those times where we just wait upon the Lord and receive from the Father. Just wait upon him. Meditating in his word, just letting the Lord speak to us through his word. But when we do talk with God, just to do it verbally and out loud, you get control on it then, don't you? And you can just direct it right to him in Jesus' name. And I think that helps me. So as we pray, you know, I mean, how do you talk with God? I mean, oh, mighty God, creator of the heavens and the earth and all that dwells therein, you know. He's going, you know, is that your relationship with me, you know? No, I think we just go, Father in heaven, you know, he's our Father. We just say it like it is. We're his kids, he's Dad. Dad, I've got this urgent request going through this thing. And you give it to your Father, which cares for you. And so we don't have to have some kind of special language. Prayer is simply to talk to God. It's a simple, sincere conversation with your Father. And he wants us to be upright with it. Again, it has to do with relationship. When you're on a date, you're trying to do everything right, say everything right, and you're so careful. But then when you get more comfortable with your girlfriend and then becoming your wife, you know, and it's just flowing out, isn't it? You're just going for it. And the Lord wants us to just be upfront with him. But that takes a while as we get our relationship going and we just understand he's Father, but he's creator, but he's awesome. And he loves me so much. His thoughts are towards me as the sands of the sea. Now, prayer is not a dialogue to inform God either. And I know a lot of times we want to tell him about everything. And God, you know what she did last week. And then this week, you saw that the other day when she was there. And let me tell you, there's more. I don't know if you saw this or not. He's gone. Why are you informing me all this stuff? Look at verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them. Matthew 6:8. For your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. So he knows the situation. Your prayer thing is not to inform him. He knows what's going on. He's all tuned in. He wants us to just give him the situation. It's really, prayer is a way to connect with God. We're connecting with him. We're casting our cares upon him because he cares for us. We're letting go of some stuff to our Father, which hears in heaven. He hears us. He hears the prayers of those who are righteous. Remember 1 Peter 3:12. He hears the prayers of the righteous. He is open unto their, you know, their cry. His ears are open unto their cry. So we know he hears us, so we just give him the situation. And you know what I found? That God's my great confidant. I share intimate things with him. Intimate things. I would share with nobody else, and he never squeals on me. He keeps it. He's a holy God, isn't he? He's our confidant. That we can share anything with him at any time, whatever we're going through. I love it. Now, to the Christian, prayer is like breathing. It's vital to our very life. And it needs to be like in Acts 2:42, constant. They constantly, steadfastly were in fellowship, were in the word and in prayer. So it's something that is continuing to be life-giving. So approach is important. So Jesus says, you get alone and you pray to God. And you ask God to just do a work in your heart and purify you. I think one other thing on this thing of prayer is that in 1 Peter 3:7, listen to this. He says, and likewise you husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto your wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the life, or of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So if there's problems between you and your spouse, and you're going at it, and you're not seeking to, you know, resolve it and get it together, your prayers can be hindered, guys. Husbands, see this as an encouragement from the Lord to work at your relationship with your wife. Get to know her. Get in a place where you can be the high priest of the home and pray for her and minister to her, that your prayers will be heard. I'd hate to have my prayers cut off because I was, you know, being a jerk at home. It just doesn't pay. No, I don't want to do that. I want to get it together. I want to have my prayers heard by God, not hindered. So prayer is vital. It's rewarding. And Jesus said men ought always to pray. And that's a blessing to pray, to cast your cares upon the Lord. And then he says, and not faint. Because fainting is when it becomes a bummer. When we're taking things on ourselves. When we're carrying heavy loads and burdens and not giving them to the Lord. When the things of our job and our situation with our physical being or what's going on in our family is just weighing us down, we are fainting, he's saying. If we stop praying, we let go of our offensive, and I believe it's one of the most effective offensive weapons that God has given to us in the spiritual realm. In fact, over in Ephesians, in chapter 6, where he's talking about the weapons of our warfare, he says in verse 18, listen, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. For, they call it the four alls of praying. That prayer is so powerful that as we get into it, it becomes an offensive weapon in the face of the enemy and what's going on around us. And if we don't pray, we'll get weak. You can count on it. Do you remember Moses on Mount Sinai when he came down after communing with God? He glowed. Everybody looked at him and said, whoa, what happened to him? Where's he been? Well, he's just been communing with God. Well, he's glowing, yeah. But then the glow started to get weary and weak, and it started to leave him, and all of a sudden he started to run back up. He says, I'm going to get glowing again. And he went back up and he got the glow again. And off and on, he'd go back up and get it again. Because when we start to feel faint, when we start to feel weak and we're not reflecting the glory of the Lord in our lives, or we're reflecting very little of the glory of God in our lives, that's the time where we need to run to the Lord. We need prayer. Remember what Jesus said? These only come out by prayer. So there's a certain situation that nothing will change anything unless we pray. These only come out by prayer. Without prayer, we'll get dull and we'll walk slower. It's kind of like as a leak in a balloon. You see it all, you know, floating high with helium, and then it gets a leak and it just falls to the ground. Or like a steam engine that goes and goes and then gets a leak in the engine. And that mighty locomotive just comes to a halt. Kind of wonder, how did our marriage get so whacked out? It just ran out of steam. What's going on? Our ministry is so dried up. How did our kids get so messed up? Or our walk become so distant? Well, it happened way down the track. And that's when it got the leak. But see, you can go for a while, but then it just stops. Count on it. You will faint. You will faint But Jesus says, pray. That's a choice. Are we going to pray about this, or are we just going to worry about it and carry it around? Are we going to give it to the Lord, or are we going to just going to, thank you very much. You know, let's just embrace it. But after a while, it's like carrying a dead body in your back, you know? It's extra weight. Boy, I got to get this thing off of me. They used to do that with prisoners, you know, for punishment. They used to put a dead body and tie a dead body on them and let them carry the dead body around until finally they got so weak and so sick that they just died themselves. We don't need that. We need to pray. And when we pray publicly, we need to block out others and even yourself. In other words, you know, and I fall into this many a times where at the end you have a word of prayer and the prayer is to finish what you're just speaking on. And it's not really a prayer, it's you're finishing your study to get that last word in, to communicate that last thing. And it's not a prayer. See, and a lot of times when we pray, we're you know, thinking to talk with somebody in a prayer meeting or something. And when you say it, you're just doing it so they'll hear it. Well, that's not prayer. We need to block it all out. He says, go into your closet, wherever you are. Forget and void out outside distractions and focus on the Lord and not on yourself and not on anybody else, just on the Lord. Get your eyes on Him. Because I tell you this, if you're full of self, there's no reason to enter into the secret chamber because pride will override your prayer. And that's what he was trying to get through to these guys. The right way is, Lord, as the psalm says, unite my heart. Psalm 27, verse 8 says, seek his face. My heart said, thy face will I seek. And so you seek to focus in on him and him alone, to be one with him. Check my motives, Lord. I love this effective prayer in Acts chapter 4 because Chuck wrote an awesome book on it called Effective Prayer. But there in Acts chapter 4 and verse 24, as they heard the threatenings and all that was coming down upon them, they cried out to God and they said, God, you're the creator. You made heaven, the earth, the seas, and all that is therein. And then they said in verse 29 of Acts 4, now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Very simply, grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. This is a prayer that God answers. Oh, you want to be used for me? Even though their lives were threatened, they said, yes, give us boldness so we can go out and do it again. And God filled them with his spirit and gave them boldness. So who is God? What's your look at, you know, I mean, how big is your God? Is he one that created everything? Then he's able, isn't he? And so we go, Father, you love me. You give good gifts. And then notice there at the last portion of verse 8 of chapter 6, Jesus says, you have need of before you ask him. The most important thing is that we come to the Lord and we ask him. James says, you have not because why? You ask not. You're not asking your Father. He wants to give you good gifts. In Luke 11, verse 11, if a son, Jesus said, shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? And he was just being sarcastic. But if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The key is asking. We need to ask. And he'll give us what we need. So God, help us to be open to receive your plan, your provision for our lives, your care for our lives. And he knows us. He knows the hairs on our head. He's named each one of them individually, the few that I still have. And he's named them because he wants us to know that my thoughts are towards you. I love you. Nothing can harm you. Over in Ephesians 3:20, listen to this. He says, now unto him, what a close, what a prayer. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He has blessed us so much. He's come to live within sight of us. And now to give us a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Oh, awesome. Prayer has nothing to do with beads. Isn't that great? Prayer has nothing to do with long, you know, things of hours and nights of prayer and being spiritual that way. It has nothing to do with these things. Prayer has everything to do with Hebrews 11:6. Listen to this verse. But without faith, it is impossible to please the Father. For he that comes to God must believe first that he is, and that he is then a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We need to be diligent about prayer. We need to be seeking the Lord. Because he has so much to give to us, to provide for us as we cry out to our Father. He wants to bless us with incredible things. So it's about who he is, what he's done, our relationship with him. And we need to talk to God. We need to ask. We need to seek. And we need to knock. That's what the Lord taught us. And he'll answer in his time. Now listen. His delay in your prayer. And sometimes we don't pray anymore because we prayed about a certain thing and it never happened. So we got discouraged and we said, hey, whatever will be, que sera, sera, you know? And we figured it's going to happen no matter if I pray, if I don't pray. It's going to either happen or not. No, 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 wait a minute, you're getting ripped off. The enemy is trying to get you bummed out because you think that his denial is, in other words, his delay is not his denial, okay? It's just in his time he makes all things beautiful. And we have to trust the Lord that his timing is perfect. Don't let the enemy rip you off.
Well, there you have it. The way to pray from the Lord himself. And don't go away. We'll hear some concluding thoughts from Pastor Jeff Johnson in just a minute. Here's our toll-free number, which you can use to order this study on CD and other helpful resources from us. It's 800-353-7553. Again, 800-353-7553. We also house all of our Matthew messages online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Now you can take Sound Doctrine with you wherever you go through the Sound Doctrine podcast. Search for Sound Doctrine podcast in your favorite app store. And it's also available on Stitcher, Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. Hey, how's your devotional life going these days? Could it use a kickstart? Allow me to recommend Daily Devotions with Calvary Chapel Pastors. This collection of daily devos will edify you as you read God's inspired word. You'll hear people of God pour out their hearts, sharing personal experiences of God's faithfulness. Authored by Chuck Smith, Skip Heitzig, Jeff Johnson, Greg Laurie, Raul Reese, Mike McIntosh, Don McClure, Joe Foch, and many more. Just give us a call at 800-353-7553. Or you can order it online through our e-store at sounddoctrineradio.org. Your financial support is not only needed at this time, but would be very much appreciated. Think of your donation as an investment in the lives of listeners all around the world who make it their aim to build their lives on sound doctrine contained in God's Word. So thank you very much for linking arms with us. Go online to sounddoctrineradio.org and click Give or call 800-353-7553. We'll end things now in the book of Jeremiah.
Listen to Jeremiah, and we'll close here. Jeremiah says in chapter 29, listen to these verses, verse 11 of Jeremiah 29, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, Jeremiah, and to all of us, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. I will listen to you, and you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all of your heart." God's just looking for a, do you really love me? Do you really care? Is your motive something else? Why are you coming to me? And if we come as a child just saying, Father in heaven, he's there to answer our prayer. Then we can make our requests known unto him, and knowing that he hears our prayers, then, the scripture says, the peace of God will rule. And that word rule there is as a guard in a garrison. He sets up his rule in our hearts and in our minds through Christ Jesus. The peace that passes understanding is ours. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Why? Because my God's got it. I gave it to him. And all of a sudden, if you start taking it back, give it back to him. Because a lot of times we take it back. Oh, I'll take that back now. I want to worry about that some more. Well, okay. He'll let you, won't he? And then all of a sudden you're going, what am I doing? I'm so bummed. I'm fainting. I don't want to faint. I want to be blessed. I'm going to give it back to him. And we give it back. I love it. Pray. So simple. So down to earth. And Jesus tried to simplify it and warn us about the dangers of it. Next week, we're going to look at what some have called the Lord's Prayer. It's really not the Lord's Prayer. It's the disciples' prayer. And is it our model for prayer? And we'll look at that next week as we continue on with this very important subject of prayer.
Next time on Sound Doctrine, Pastor Jeff unveils the greatest prayer as we have another look into the Sermon on the Mount. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel Downey. So far.